Now, as COVID-19 cases surge in Wisconsin, other Midwestern states have seen their own surges in the last few weeks.
Illinois' governor has said they may have no choice but to impose a mandatory stay-at-home order.
And in Minnesota, there are new limitations on indoor gatherings and bar closing times going into effect today.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have friends or family in a neighboring state? What are you hearing from them? Have any of them changed how they think about or fear the spread of the coronavirus? And are you a healthcare professional? What has your experience been like these last few weeks? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
Lauren Weber joins us now for a look at where things are at in the region around Wisconsin and what different states are trying to do to contain the spread of the virus. Lauren is Midwestern correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Lauren, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we know, as we just heard in the news, numbers are moving in the wrong direction here in Wisconsin. We keep breaking records that we don't want to break. How are things looking in the rest of the region?
I mean, if you look at Wisconsin, your guys' 7-day average for new COVID-19 cases, it's now surpassed New York City at the height of their dramatic spring outbreak, and it continues to surge at an alarming rate. So I would say things are not very good when you look at Wisconsin as a whole, but your surrounding states around you are not faring much better, a little bit better, but not much better. I will say what they have going for them that you may not is that a lot of the orders put in place by the Wisconsin governor have been overturned, whereas in some of the surrounding states, they've had better luck keeping them. But then again, you also have Iowa, which still does not have a complete mask mandate. So it obviously varies very much from state to state.
Can you talk a little more about the kind of measures we've seen in neighboring states that came into effect and stayed in effect, unlike in Wisconsin, where, as you mentioned, they were most of them overturned in courts or in the court process right now?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at Illinois, they had much better luck with stay-at-home orders, right? They, you know, obviously faced some sort of backlash, but it was not nearly the overturn that you're looking at. And you're seeing Chicago already kind of re-go back into some sort of lockdown as we kind of proceed through this week. And I anticipate more of that coming. And, you know, at the bottom line is you have kind of what ends up happening is you have these blue states and you have these red states and how the different legislators respond to that. But like I said, you know, if you look at Iowa, they never even had a mask mandate. And some other Midwest states like Missouri, which is actually where I'm calling in from, also does not have a mask mandate. You guys do have a mask mandate in place at least through November 21st, but even that has certainly been challenged, and we'll see what happens with it going forward.
Now, we heard our Governor Evers address the state just the other day. He didn't announce any new mandates, but he made a very strong plea for people to wear the masks, to do the social distancing. I want to give a listen now to governors from the states who are our neighbors. We'll hear in order here Governors Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, J.B. Pritzker from Illinois, Kim Reynolds from Iowa, and Tim Walz from Minnesota.
We need people to individually do their part so collectively we get through this winter. We don't overwhelm our hospital systems, and we don't lose more lives. That's really, I think, the most important thing that we want to convey today is that the trajectory that we are on is dire and it is very serious.
With many community leaders choosing not to listen to the doctors, we are left with not many tools left in our toolbox to fight this. The numbers don't lie. If things don't take a turn in the coming days, we will quickly reach the point when some form of a mandatory stay-at-home order is all that will be left.
COVID-19 does not discriminate based on geography. The virus is present in all of our communities, and all of us can help stop its spread.
We need to move now. This has happened incredibly quickly. You saw the stories of hospital systems around us that are already overwhelmed. We are still in a position to be able to handle this. There is going to be a lag time. This is the wave already breaking on the shore. What we're able to do is to shore up a little bit, to push back after this one breaks for the next one that will come.
The governors of Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota respectively there. Lauren, we're hearing that message of urgency now from more consistently, it seems like, from more governors in these states and others, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I mean, it's interesting you bring up Governor Whitmer. She also, similar to you all, has faced substantial pushback on some of the orders that she's put into place. And you're seeing the numbers rise in her state as well. But, you know, across the country, I would say all of the governors are urging, you know, responsibility, stay at home if you can. It's just the teeth that they have to enforce those kind of measures very much, what you know, varies widely from state to state.
Talking to Lauren Weber, Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News, looking at how COVID-19 is affecting the Midwest as a region, how Wisconsin compares to our neighbors and beyond. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you seeing in your community, whether you're one of our listeners in Wisconsin or our neighbors? And if you work in healthcare anywhere in the region, I'd like to hear from you as well and what you are seeing at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lauren, big parts of all these states are rural. This is a disease that's hitting rural areas now, raising concerns about hospitals in those areas. You've been reporting on things, the story of not having supplies in some of the smaller healthcare facilities, senior facilities, other places. What kind of things are we seeing out there?
So unfortunately, you know, we've heard the story about how personal protective equipment or PPE has been short throughout this entire pandemic. I will say that as the demand has surged, supply has increased and a lot of hospitals have started to stockpile. But more rural areas, which Wisconsin has a lot of and a lot of Midwestern places have a lot of, you know, are having a harder time getting a hold of these supplies. When there's such a scramble for them, they, you know, they usually go up in price. And your local rural health clinic or your local nursing home can't compete with these massive hospital chains that are able to buy at scale. And so you're left with rural health clinics being unable to get any gloves or, you know, your nursing home down the street not having any gowns. And that's the kind of thing that leads to more community spread, because when you don't really have a national allocation of these products to all of the people that need it, you're going to end up having outbreaks in high-risk places that exacerbate the community spread throughout.
Now, absent that kind of federal coordination to get supplies where they're needed, are we seeing, I don't know, regional cooperation among states to try to get this sort of thing sorted out, or is it everyone for themselves still at this point?
You know, I think at the beginning of the pandemic, we saw more of that regional cooperation. Right now, the PPE at the hospitals isn't at a dire point. So I don't think that they've had to really re-up those alliances to that effect. But as I said, you know, it's great that the hospitals have more PPE and seem to have some stockpiles. But frankly, if your nursing home and your local nursing home doesn't have PPE, those patients end up in the hospital. So it's kind of an unfortunate cycle in which these smaller providers are being priced out on the market and then, you know, potentially leading to more exposures and more folks ending up in the hospital after all.
How about testing capacity? What are you seeing? We're seeing in Wisconsin, one healthcare provider saying that they have to stop a lot of their public testing so they can pull that staff in to treat the people who they're treating with COVID as the hospitals fill up. How are we doing on testing now?
I mean, I think you hit on a really dire point inside the testing point, which is staffing, right? So first off, testing in general, just to look at that as a bucket, when you have just a tremendous surge of people looking to get tested and positivity rates going through the roof, you just have more people waiting in line. And our testing absolutely has improved from the spring, but when you have a crush of people all at once, you're going to get backlogged. And you also worry about, with this crush of people, you know, the things you need, swabs, reagents, all of that, you worry about that going short as well. But staffing is something you mentioned, and that's something I really want to stress is a huge problem in hospitals all across Wisconsin and frankly all across the Midwest, which is just getting slammed with COVID right now. You know, staffers like you or me, they also are exposed to COVID in the community or COVID while they're working. And if they have to quarantine for, you know, 2 weeks or are taken out by those exposures, you really can get limited on how much staff you have very quickly. And unlike New York City, Wisconsin obviously has a lot of healthcare facilities that are spread out in more rural areas and city areas, and they, you know, they do not have the sheer numbers of medical staff that other places do. And so you're seeing, especially in these rural communities, a fight for nurses who have to stay home with their sick kid who has been infected at school, or for staff that have been infected themselves and are very sick. I mean, these are the people that you need to keep us healthy, and even they are being affected by this virus. And so it just goes to show COVID-19 does not happen in a vacuum, and the effects of it continuing to ramp up in a potentially uncontrolled manner are huge.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hey, you hit on some of the points I was going to mention, but my wife's a critical care nurse at a major hospital in Eau Claire, and I'm a sales, so I think I got a pretty good handle on some of the stuff that's going on here. But there's a lot of things that the average people, the public, they don't think about. I'm amazed when I go out to a store how many people I still see walking around with no mask on. You can hear me okay, right?
Yep, keep going.
Yep. And so the one thing is my wife's critical care unit is 26 beds. Tuesday night, the last day she worked, 10 of those beds were occupied by COVID with 8 on a ventilator. The med-surg floor has about 40 COVID patients on it, 40, you know, that don't need a ventilator but that are sick enough. And, you know, you hit on the one nail on the head, that the more people hospitalized, the more workers get exposed to it. And I think within the Mayo system in Wisconsin right now, there's close to 300 healthcare workers that are out sick because either having the virus.
We just lost you, John. You're cutting in and out, John, but I think we get the gist. He's giving some firsthand information from his wife there, Lauren, of a system that's on the verge of being overwhelmed, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I just want to also reiterate, it's not like healthcare workers are impervious to this disease themselves. I mean, we've lost at least over 1,300 of them through the course of this pandemic, which is just horrific. I mean, these are people on the front lines, you know, attempting to save people like you or me if we are on a ventilator or if we are sick. And the fact that we're losing so many of them, either from lack of PPE or other exposure, is just incredibly distressing. And I hope for that caller that his wife stays safe and that he stays safe. And I, you know, we all appreciate her work on the front lines in that regard.
Thanks for calling in. We're talking to Lauren Weber of Kaiser Health News about the surge in COVID-19 cases, big time here in Wisconsin, but elsewhere in the Midwest as well.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What should governors be doing in Wisconsin and other Midwestern states? Is the support for actions like that any different given the severity of cases now, or given the results of the presidential election? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Lauren Weber, Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News. We're looking at the impact of COVID-19 around the Midwest.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you seeing people change their behavior in your community, whether you're here in Wisconsin or beyond? If you work in healthcare, interested in hearing your experience, what you're seeing right now at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have family who are healthcare professionals who are on the front lines. And as your guest said, they are more at risk than anybody else. Right now, some frontline workers are wearing the same single-use N95s for up to a week at a time. A few months ago, my particular family member had worn her single-use N95 for 53 days. And still we have no action coming from the Wisconsin legislature besides trying to block a mask mandate. Robin Voss recently posted that he was interested in talking to the governor about it, but we're not seeing any kind of response, either nationally or statewide, except for what Governor Evers is trying to do unilaterally.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Lauren, that the story of reusing PPE still an issue out there for some healthcare workers?
Absolutely. I mean, I muttered this while he was speaking, but oh my gosh, 53 days. I mean, that is not what you want to see, and that's not the kind of thing that you're looking for when you're hoping to safely care or be cared for yourself and protected against this. That's obviously way too long to have an N95 mask. And I, you know, that's horrifying to hear. And I think, you know, as people are trying to conserve PPE, which is once again expensive because it's in high demand, you see measures like that put into place, but that very much puts people at risk. And it's just such a shame. Honestly, you feel like you're living in Alice in Wonderland. These are all the same problems and all the same stories that have happened in different parts of the country as, you know, the months have gone on of this pandemic. And yet here we are again, you know, new state, same problems. And it's just horrifying.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Sarah with us now in Lodi. Sarah, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep. What do you got to say, Sarah?
Well, I'm a retired nurse, and I don't know that people realize how at risk teachers, medical care, medical workers. My daughter is a social worker in child protective services. They can't stop seeing people in their home when kids are at risk. But in ICUs, those staff members are exposed to huge viral load because they're suctioning trachs. They're not just bathing people. The care of people on a ventilator is huge. And I think, you know, if you don't want to wear a mask, I understand, but you need to step up and just do it. It's not, we have to start respecting what people do to take care of us when we're sick.
Sarah, thanks a lot for that call. Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about how much more exposure, especially working around someone on a ventilator, might be. And making the case, Sarah, is for wearing the mask to help them out, Lauren.
Yeah, and I'll just add, too, I mean, the science has shown that wearing a mask, you know, not only could save someone else from COVID, but could save you from worse effects of COVID. Because if you're wearing a mask or face covering, you're less likely to inhale as many, you know, droplets of COVID-19 or of the virus that carries, you know, that has the virus. And your case could then be less severe. So not only are you helping other people by wearing a mask, but you also potentially are saving yourself from a worse case of it.
Thanks for sharing your experience there with that call. We'll go to Steve now, calling here in Wisconsin. Steve, hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Steve.
Oh, yes. Well, I just am curious. I haven't heard too much about anything about the suicidal rate going up, and I'm a mental health specialist, or I was. I'm retired. I'm 75 years old, a Vietnam combat veteran, and I'm used to people taking their own lives at times. And so I'm curious how high has the suicide rate climbed since this virus took over?
And Steve, thanks a lot for the call. And I've seen, before I throw this to you, Lauren, I've seen just information out today that we kind of don't know. There's been some viral social media posts saying it's up, some research saying it's inconclusive at this point. But, Lauren, I think it's not controversial to say there is a serious mental health challenge going on with the extra stress from the coronavirus. What are we seeing when it comes to mental health care?
Rob, that's a great point. I was going to add in, you know, it's interesting. I looked into this at the beginning of the pandemic, and even now to this day, we just don't have the stats on it to really adequately answer that question. But I will say that, you know, one concern I have in covering the public health system, and I'm sure you know this as someone that's worked in mental health, is that in general, mental health services are not very well funded. And if you combine COVID-19, where public health officials are being pulled into pandemic response all the time, you know, you worry that you're losing health folks that would be working on mental health or expanding those resources. You're losing that to budget cuts that are being cut because of tax shortfalls, or you're losing those people because they're getting pulled onto COVID-19 call hotlines. And so, you know, very much this is a big concern. And, you know, I would urge, you know, listeners to absolutely reach out to people that they think are struggling, you know, because mental health is a concern without a pandemic involved.
Thanks a lot for the call, Steve. In our last couple of minutes, Lauren, I want to look to the future. We've got some promising news about vaccines, hopefully in the not-too-distant horizon. But between now and then, cases going up, and we know, sadly, hospitalizations and deaths tend to follow over the couple weeks after cases go up. What are you watching for to see how this goes in the Midwestern region?
I mean, I think, sadly, we're in for a lot of pain over the next couple weeks. I mean, I think, you know, what we're going to see is cases continue to go up until behavior really dramatically changes. And as of right now, there's really nothing in place to make folks in Wisconsin dramatically change their behavior from an enforcement, you know, point of view. And I will also say something that we haven't talked about. You know, I've written pretty extensively about how local public health officials, so many of them have resigned, been fired, or retired since the beginning of this pandemic. And actually in Wisconsin, I checked our database between Kaiser Health News and the Associated Press, and 9 of them, which is a higher than usual turnover, have resigned, retired, or been fired since the beginning of the pandemic. And a lot of that is because they've seen pushback from their local community. You know, in the absence of more federal leadership and guidance, you know, it often falls on your local health official to really be the punching bag for people when it comes to, you know, what should be done, you know, isolation, quarantine, shutdowns, and so on. And it's very difficult for these people to be on a different kind of front line, and you've lost quite a few of them in Wisconsin.
Lauren, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lauren Weber is Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News. We've been talking to her about the big increases in coronavirus, not just in Wisconsin, but all over the Midwest. Coming up, we'll hear from a local advocate for the safety and healing of Black girls and women. She'll tell us about her podcast and work, Defending Black Girls. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.